The International Day of Reflection on the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda, which was established by the United Nations General Assembly in 2023. It is what we're talking about today, 7th April, that is being commemorated today. Now, the date marks the beginning of the genocide perpetrated against members of the Tutsi minority by the Hutu extremist-led government. Now, within just over 100 days, more than 1 million Tutsi were systematically murdered. Moderate Hutu and others who opposed the massacres were also killed during this period. Now, we want to reflect on that here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. And to help us do that, we have with us William Ngabonziza, who is the chairperson of the Rwandan community in South Sudan. And he joins us now this morning to discuss with us much more about this. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Jacob.
Yes, good morning. And could you briefly tell us about this day and what does it mean to you and the people of Rwanda?
Thank you so much, Jacob. And thanks to the leadership of Radio Miraya for this time. Today, 7th April, we are commemorating the 31st anniversary of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda. And it's the beginning of the 100 days of mourning because the genocide took the 100 days, as you have introduced it well. So here, the Rwandan community in South Sudan, made of 600 just Rwandans working here and about 2,600 peacekeepers. So we are going to commemorate this event today, and the event will take place at Durupi Camp, where the Regional Protection Force base is. And the event will start at 10 today, and it's happening all over the world, starting from Rwanda, where today we will light the flame of hope. I will explain later what the flame of hope means and the meaning of the Kwibuka, or the remembrance of the 31st anniversary. The theme is the Remember, Unite, and Renew.
Mm. Yes. Why do we celebrate this event?
Yes. The 1994 genocide against the Tutsi was very horrible. So you've said it well, a million Tutsi and were massacred, were killed in the period of 100 days, and it's one of the last genocide in the century, or in the I think 20th century. Mm-hmm. and the world had to say no, this should stop. Mm-hmm. Killing a person because of his origins, because of where he belongs, this should stop. However much it has not stopped, because the negation is still there, people are still being killed because of who they are, where they belong, the identity. But remembering this is like telling the world, please, diversity means a lot, so we have to live together. Where you are from South Sudan, I'm from Rwanda, I'm from Tutsi, I'm from Hutu, I'm from, as you're saying, mm-hmm. we have to live together, we are one person. So this is where the line Rwanda has decided to follow, and they preach to the world that we are one. And you said it well, we have to live together, we have to preach peace. I've been hearing people calling before this. Yeah, this is what we are preaching.
Exactly. Now let's move on to the lighting of the flame you said earlier on. Yes. Yes. What do we mean by that?
So when we remember first of all the victims of the genocide, 1 million people. Mm. A big number of families lost theirs. So we remember. We used to, in the early years after 1994, we were just remembering, or we were just mourning in grief. But now we decided as Rwanda now to move on. To move on means to transform the country. There is a new generation. 30 years, it's a big span, and then there is a new generation. So now we are remembering, we are remembering, but now in strength, in hope, and in unity. As Rwanda, we decided to be one. That's the unity, reconciliation, forgiveness. That's what is there. So the flame of hope is like, yes, these things should never happen again. The 1994 genocide that happened in Rwanda should never happen again. But the hope is like, yes, let's transform Rwanda. Let's move together. Let's build one another so that we build our country, build one another, and then we have prosperity as a country.
Mm. All right. Now, Rwanda is right now is one of the most united and progressive countries in Africa that we all know. And how did you as a country move from this tragic event to where the country is right now?
A very good question, Jacob. So after 1994, Rwanda was a failed country. When we say failed country, it's a failed state. Nothing was there. Mm-hmm. Everything had to start from scratch. So they then, Rwanda Patriotism Army, when they took over from the extremist group, and then they found the country had nothing. No money in the bank, nothing. And then, of course, there were many people grieving because they lost theirs, 1 million people in 100 days. So those who were the refugees for many years outside the country started returning. They had their family members within the country. No one was there. So then the leadership of the country, and then read by the Rwanda Patriotic Front that time, and then decided, say, like, yes, are we going to continue like this? Are we going for revenge? Are we going to, what are we going to do? So they said, like, if we continue like this, no one, Rwanda is very small, and the population was small. We understand losing 1 million, of course, it affected the country. So we're going to lose everything. Can we decide to be one? Can we decide to move as one person? So what makes Rwanda, as you said, progress being noticed even by everyone is because we decided, number one, to be one. Mm-hmm. To be one means me, William, I'm similar to Paul Kagame you see here. Yes. I'm similar to another Rwandan in any other province. So we have the same privileges, the same identity. Everything that is given to me should be given to another one. That's one. Number two, accountability. Accountability is very important. Accountability with the leaders, with everyone. You have to be accountable to your country. And number three is to think big. Think big, like, yes, where do we want to go? How can we learn to the country that have progressed well? So this is what Rwanda, you see, this is Rwanda is a landlocked country. Rwanda doesn't have big enough resources. Rwanda has to struggle because of the head of people, because of that thinking big. So we have to think big so that we grow. So with being one, being accountable and thinking big, it has made the Rwanda progress.
But the essence of accepting to become one person, becoming accountable and all that out of the many populations in the country. I mean, how was this one made possible?
Yeah, it's a process. It doesn't come in one day. Even now, we're still struggling because, as I said, there were negations. We are Rwanda, the region where we are. Let me say, Rwanda borders Congo, for example. You've been hearing the conflict of Rwanda and Congo.
Yes.
Because there are Tutsi in Congo who are Congolese already, who are being, for example, denied their privileges of being Congolese nationals, for example. And this is affecting Rwanda because they are refugees in Rwanda. And they are refugees because they are Tutsi. So meaning what Rwanda has been fighting for, the right of everyone, in the end, at the other side of the border, it's not being done like that. So meaning, it's affecting everyone.
Mm.
So it's a process. And the process starts by understanding, yes, it happened. Can we agree? We move on. Can we reconcile? Can we forgive? Forgiving is a very big step. I can quote our president, His Excellency Paul Kagame, when he was talking to one of the media house, explaining to them, We had to request the survivors of genocide, big things that no one can even accept, to forgive. So we put the burden of genocide on them because they don't have any other things. We told them, please forgive the perpetrators. Forgive them. So we understand someone who lost the whole family, who lost everything. Mm. Tell them, just forgive.
And they decided they
forgave. They are living together. They are giving cows to one another. Their children are studying in the same schools. We go to the same hospitals. We move in the same buses, commuting to work. We live together as one.
Mm.
It's a process. It's a continue. And again, with the new generation, with the young ones, it's easy now because they are learning. They're young.
William, this is sounding interesting now. I mean, you are in South Sudan situation now. I mean, what lesson can South Sudan or the other African countries actually learn now from this experience of the Rwandans?
Yes, countries are sometimes, I'm not here to say like, yes, South Sudan, you have to do the way Rwanda did so that the people are together, people are one, people prosper together. No, but my advice, if I'm asked as William, is like, yes, every country has the homegrown solutions. The homegrown solutions of living together, of being one.
Mm.
And they have been there. Let me tell you, before many years ago, centuries years ago, we were one. So, of course, these divisions coming, separating us, they are the ones causing us to kill one another, to see my neighbor, to see my friend as an enemy because of few resources, for example, because of influences, political influence, all the, like the genocide, the way it was happened. Because genocide didn't happen just 1994. It's a process that started 1959 when they were even in school. Mm-hmm. They were teaching children, when you see a Tutsi is your enemy. So you understand when you're teaching someone that's the enmity, so you grow knowing that one, this one is eating my resources, this one is here, it doesn't belong to Rwanda. So in it reached the point where another spark is burned and then people were killed. So my advice like to South Africa, or even African countries, like, yes, can we see, we are behind the whole world. The world is moving fast because for us, we always in these small divisions of minorities, of ethnics, of tribes and everything. And then we forget that the world is moving. We are in 2025. Like Jacob, me, you and I, we are young. So you see, yes. And then we have also children, or we have our younger brothers who have to grow. So imagine if now from here, we are going to teach them to hate our neighbors. Are we moving really in 2025? We'll reach again 2050. The world has moved. Artificial intelligence is there. Everyone is moving. And for us, we are in hating. Are we going to move, really? So we have to stop these things of hate, and then we move on.
All right. William, now that you are commemorating this day, I want to understand. I mean, how are you going to celebrate this event here in Juba, South Sudan, as a Rwandan community within South Sudan? I mean, there are going to be chicken. I mean, are you slaughtering goats or something like that?
No, it's a commemoration. Commemoration. We don't celebrate like it's a
party.
No, it's a commemoration, because I said we remember the victims, and we also support the survivors of the genocide, because there are those even after 30 years still affected by the genocide. Mm. They lost everything, and as a Rwandan community, we remember them, and we journey with them through this period of 100 days. So today at Durupi, as I said, Durupi base of Regional Protection Force, the Rwanda battalion there, it's a big space. We have invited many people, government dignitaries, the UN, and the friends of Rwanda, the Rwandan community, and the Rwandan contingents under UNMISS. So we have invited. We are going to have a gathering of like between 500 and let me say 800 people, and where there are going to be speeches and commemoration songs, some testimonies where we preach this, what I'm talking here.
Yes.
So we tell people how Rwanda moved from failed state to where we are, and through this progress, and that we are preaching everyone in the world to be one, to be humane, to love one another, and to accept their diversity.
Sounds interesting. Any final remark to the public?
Yeah, thank you. So 7th April is a big day in Rwanda. It's a big day. We remember, we commemorate, and then with the theme, as I say, remember, unite and renew. Renew is like transform and changes. So it's a day where we are passing the messages to every African countries, to the whole world, that yes, the genocide that happened should never happen again. Please should never happen again. And the negation of the genocide against the Tutsi, that's happening over the world, that it should stop, because no one should be hated or denied privileges because of his origins or heritage.
Thank you. Thank you so much, William, for joining us this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show. We hope to have you some more times. Wish you very good commemoration of the event.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And to the listeners, we have come to the end of this conversation. Stay there with us, and we are coming with more on the Miraya Breakfast Show.